Cassie just awoke out
of
a
deep
sleep.
Oh, I know. I was like, just like, Oh, okay. Hi. Welcome, everybody, to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
And I'm Christina.
Hey.
Oh. Hey.
We're not hungover. We're fine.
We're fine. I actually do feel fine, weirdly fine, and yeah. I don't know what that means. Like, yeah. I'm like, look, I do not want to be hungover. Yeah. Like, I'm not, I don't want to be hungover, but
listen,
I
say don't diagnose it too far.
I'm a little concerned because I'm just like, man, I wasn't hungover after my bachelorette party. Mm-mm. I wasn't hungover after the wedding.
I wasn't
we
either.
Drank last
all
night.
Day. And we drank all day at your wedding, literally yeah. from like 11 o'clock until like past midnight,
well,
1 o'clock in the morning.
We didn't start drinking as early as the guys. So there's well, that. We held off. We held off. Okay.
Yeah,
we didn't pop that champagne until, yeah, like 11:30. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd had claws before that. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And then I literally, like, right after that, hopped on a flight to Denmark.
Yeah.
So.
Bless
no,
your
wait.
Heart.
Your story is so much better than that. You're like, you're the whole wedding. You're just like, just a little bit of a ball of anxiousness. Like,
yes.
You're like, I'm having fun. This is so much fun. But I can hear your brain going, you have to go to the State Department.
I let my passport expire last year because it's COVID, yeah. And I was like, oh, it's gonna be fine.
What do I need this for? What We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Exactly.
Half of the world won't let Americans in, so why do we need this?
Exactly. So yeah, I had to make an appointment at the State Department. The only one they had was the morning of my international flight.
No,
no big
so,
deal.
NBD.
I would have called the whole thing off. I'm like, no.
I was like, and listen, I made it. Yeah. I don't know how it was fine. My bags didn't make it back, but
they made it
that,
there.
They made it there.
You made it there.
They made it to Paris, and then they were like, you know what? We're staying.
We did. So, we they're like here. You know,
your clothes were like, bitch, how dare you bring us to Paris and not stay?
I know, right? So, yeah, I'm, you know, not hungover, but I am still wearing my sunglasses.
You look like an early 2000s rapper right now. Like,
totally.
During an interview, you just have your sunglasses on.
You're literally that one girl at brunch.
Yes.
Just.
Can't even.
I'm a whole vibe. It's 10 o'clock at night in my soul right now, even though it's really like what? Like noon?
Noon.
Yeah. So drinking a White Claw and doing the damn thing. So,
yo, we have to fucking talk. Well, first of all, we have to, with a capital HAVE, talk about the taco date.
Oh, because that literally 102 people said it to
never,
us.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad.
I love it.
It's amazing. And before anybody had sent it to us, or before I'd seen that anyone sent it to us, I was scrolling on TikTok and it came up on my For You page and I saved it to share with you guys.
Yeah.
And then it was sent to us on every platform.
Every.
Like, including Patreon.
I love
it. It was sent to us on every single platform.
Never stop doing that. Because
I
think it's, I love it so much. Everybody that sent it to us. I was like,
and I love that. I love that chick on TikTok. And I hope she's getting like attention from that. Because she's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I literally opened up our Instagram and it was like three in a row. Just three messages in a row of the exact same. And I was just like, I mean, but one person did the serious homework.
Oh, yeah.
So first of all, let's talk about this. In case you
somehow
live in a cave and do not have friends, there is a TikTok that went around.
Wow. I love that you just implied that if you haven't heard about this, you don't have friends.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah.
No, it's funny.
Well,
keep
just
going.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, this girl tells a story about a date. This girl, what's her name? Sorry. I feel like we should really shout this person out because it's like legitimately.
And she's hilarious.
So
she's
funny.
Elise Myers on TikTok. Oh. Yeah. All one word. Elise Myers.
Hilarious. So she tells a story about how she went on a date with this guy. She meets up with him at his house, right?
And she drove
45
minutes. First of all,
always
45. And he's like, I'm going to take you out to dinner. Like she thinks he has like a real
plan.
Yeah.
Shows up. She's like, hey, don't have keys to my car or something. Basically doesn't can't drive. Mm-hmm. So she's like, fine, hop in. We'll drive to wherever.
And she seems chill about it.
Totally
too.
Chill. He's like giving her directions and they
make
pull
a
up
left here.
Turn right. By turn direction.
The way she tells the story is so good. So such a chef's kiss. But she's like, they show up at Taco Bell. He's like, drive through. She's like, sure. He pulls up, leans his whole body over her, yells into the mic, 100 hard shell tacos, gets to the gets to pay at the pay window, tap, tap,
does
tap,
pat down.
Does the whole body pat down, and she's like, oh, you don't have any money.
That's like $79.
It's no, more than I that. Will tell you exactly how much it is, because one of our listeners, Liz, hard shout out, did the Lord's work here for us, and it's... I will tell you, let me pull it up. She said it is $150 in tacos.
What?
She's like, I looked, and I'm like, whoa, true heroes.
Also, those Taco Bell employees were like, straight up, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know how long? Yeah, you're sitting at that second window waiting for your food for a long
time. Imagine being behind that person. Like, when I am in line at Taco 100. Bell, it is an urgent situation, right? Like, I am starving. That's what leads me to that place.
If
right.
If you have to wait for Taco Bell, you're really regretting your life choices.
Yeah.
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 Yes. If the line's too long. In fact, we went by Taco Bell last night. I was over at Cassie's house, and Anthony, which never happens, Anthony was the one who was like, I want to go to Taco Bell.
And we're like, well, I mean, we're taking advantage of this
15 times. So
fucking lootly, let's go. But we got there, and the line was like one car into the street, and we were like, no.
Too much.
It's too long. We're going to be here for too long.
Yeah. So then she also does more heavy lifting. Oh, wait. So they get back. Okay. So the rest of the story, they get back to Dude Face's house. He's like, let's go inside and eat tacos. And he's like, let's feast.
My dad. He lives with his dad, which fine.
Okay. They eat literally in silence at a table with two chairs. Dad comes over and is eating over top of them.
Eating in hard silence, tacos. Like just unwrapping Taco Bell tacos.
Bags are 100 tacos. Were they like, did he like Scrooge McDuck it on the table? Like in tacos?
That's all I can imagine. It's just
like making it rain.
Tacos.
Shredded lettuce everywhere.
Everywhere. So eventually he's like, I guess dad was like, hey, do you want to check out my studio? And she's like, not on my life ever. And like gathers all of her $150 worth of tacos and takes the fuck off.
Can we please speculate about what the dad looked like? Because I'm thinking like no shirt, like older, like used to be in a band, you know, like kind of older.
I didn't have him without
studio for what too. Yeah.
And also literally did not imagine him without a shirt on, but don't like that. Not
eating tacos over you with no shirt.
No. Wow. Yeah. Why doesn't he have a shirt on
white
in your
hair
scenario?
On the chest.
Stop it.
Why? Sorry.
No. That's no. No, I don't like that.
Someone needs to ask her because now I need to know.
So Liz apparently did a little bit more research.
Oh, God bless her.
And she said, she says to us in our Instagram feed, she says, all I know is dude lives near she said apparently there's a girl who had the same experience named Jen. The plot thickens. All I know is this dude lives near LA and has apparently done this at least twice.
And I'm like, which one of us is gonna fall on our sword and get on Tinder to find this guy?
Oh my God. It could have been me.
It could have been you.
It could have been you.
Wow.
I missed out on 100 tacos. You did. First of all, though, like, honestly, like, as soon as it was directed to the drive-thru of Taco Bell, listen, I don't hate Taco Bell, no. But I would just be like,
no.
If you said 100 hard-shell tacos, I'd say, never mind.
No.
I would cut, that would be the line where I would cut it off. Would I drive 45 minutes to meet somebody for a date? Yes, I have done that.
It's LA. You're going to.
Secondly, they're like, oh, I don't have a car. Oh, we drive. Yes, I will do that. 100 hard shell tacos would have been
that's where you draw the line.
Shut it down. And please direct me back to
because $150 I do not have for hard shell tacos.
Not for tacos.
Also, there's just two of us. And listen, I can throw down on some tacos.
Yeah, it ain't 150.
Like, throwing down for me is like 8 tacos.
That's right.
Like, and like that's
and then
a
I'm
lot.
Sick.
Yeah,
exactly.
50 tacos a piece?
Nope.
For what?
No.
It's wasteful. It's bizarre. And then I'm like, are we going to like a part? There's so many questions, but I'm like, I don't want the answers to it. This
also,
is where I get off the
You live the in LA. I would take a nice drive to somewhere, some encampment, and be just dropping off tacos if that's the case.
Yeah.
Like right to me, sure. Like, because A, what are you going to keep them?
Honestly, that would have been a much better twist to this
Could
story
you imagine?
If he's like, actually on this date, we're volunteering and we're going to go bring food to unhoused encampments.
Yeah. And then
I would have
like,
been like, okay. We're going to get married.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, not sitting
you're like,
at a table
I do.
With my dad. Yeah. Eating tacos.
Yeah.
so
hate it.
Oh my goodness.
I love also, we left out the fact that after that, when the dad was like, hey, you want to go see my studio? She's like scooping up the tacos because she's like, I was like, thank God she took those tacos with her because she's like, I paid for these tacos. These tacos are coming home with me.
That's right. That's right. No, my goodness. First of all, again, thank you guys so much for sending that to us. And also, Jen, if you do listen, I would like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
And your story.
Someone listening knows Jen. Okay. Yeah. So put her in contact.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. LA is the biggest small town in the world. Okay? Yeah,
exactly.
We so can small. Go. Jen, I will take you out for a drink.
Let's I'll take
go.
You out for tacos.
Yes.
She probably isn't she's into like, that anymore.
She's
she
like, bitch, I can't have another fucking taco in my life. She's like, I don't know.
Ruined for me now.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Well, who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
Oh, Lord.
The Taco Bell.
The Taco Bell menu.
Menu.
Listen.
Baja Blast.
I stopped eating meat after the wedding. Like, I was like, I'm gonna give this thing a go. And I haven't had meat since then. And Taco Bell, man, I will say this about Taco Bell. Like, they...
Well, you still wouldn't be having meat, so... probably fine.
Oh.
Hey, let's not talk about it like that.
Okay, all right.
Sweet baby Taco Bell.
You're like, okay, sorry, unpopular opinion. The whole crowd boos.
But you can replace, if you don't know this, like you can replace any, like you can get anything on the menu and replace the meat with beans or potatoes. Like they'll just replace it.
Yeah.
So I went there and got a cheesy gordita crunch with black beans instead of meat. Mm. And it was fucking delicious.
Mm. Nice.
So, you know, I'm always here. I'm a Taco Bell stan.
Yeah, you are.
Completely. She's I will a- not hear a bad word.
Okay. No. All right.
Oh my God. Well, I was watching the Del Taco commercial today and it's like they have like this like what is it like when you do the cheese between the two? What's that
quesadilla.
Called? Yeah, it was a quesadilla wrap.
Taco
thing.
I saw
and it. And I was like, that looks like diarrhea is what that looks like.
But you know
oh
what?
My God.
The thing is, you just can't think about it.
No.
You're like, it's going to be delicious in my mouth hole. Like
the other hole. Not so much. Sorry, no. Keegan.
Oh, the visual.
Oh, God.
Terrifying.
Oh, man.
On that note.
Well, Taco Bell menu items does sound like a...
Or we could just do trash taco places. We could do Del Taco. We could do...
What's another one?
We'll talk about... We could do Chipotle.
El Pollo Loco.
El Pollo Loco.
Hey,
El Pollo Loco is decent.
Actually, delicious. Pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah,
highly underrated.
Yeah,
Chipotle. I remember when Chipotle first came out. I remember and how fucking fire it was. Do you remember?
Yeah. Yes.
Like how?
Oh God, yeah. It was delicious.
You were like,
what
"This is fresh
happened
to death."
To Chipotle,
they got too big.
Yeah,
they got too big too fast. They burned too brightly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know.
Because now I'm like.
Mm. I mean, I will still eat Chipotle,
it did take a turn.
And I do frequently.
But it did. It changed.
Literally the last two times I've eaten there, I got like sick. So I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know what.
Okay.
If
all
anything.
Right.
Okay.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And Del Taco. Well, I know who I'm going to kill.
Me too.
Del Taco.
You gotta.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I did recently have Del Taco for the first time in like a really long time and surprisingly good. And if you are Baroque, Del Taco, I mean, Taco Bell is cheap. Del Taco is like even cheaper. It's like you can get tons of shit at Del Taco for like $1, you know?
But see, that's what makes me sus. So if
okay.
we're talking you should be. About these brands, like their people,
uh-huh. mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if someone's too easy,
mm-hmm.
or too cheap like that, mm-hmm. I'm like, why? Why is this so?
I'm,
you know what? I'm sus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
it's a red flag.
It's a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Del Taco is just like that love bomby. Like,
oh. Yeah, we want to work for it a little
yeah.
bit. Like, make me work a little.
Just
bit.
A little, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to.
Look, yeah. I'm not trying to run after you.
No.
But, like, yeah.
Because
like,
I won't. My
little
feet
speed
get tired.
Walk, though. Yeah.
And then Chipotle is like the one where you were first dating and they were like, you know,
mm-hmm. there
doing
for you.
The thing,
yes.
there for you, yeah. where you're like, holy shit,
and
you're
soon
telling
as
your
you
friend
move in together.
Oh,
then
yeah,
shit changes.
Yeah,
come home and Chipotle's in their underwear playing video games.
Yes. The truth comes out.
The laundry hasn't been done. Yeah.
But Taco Bell, steady Eddie.
Steady.
Yeah.
Forever. Steady Eddie.
Steady since they were pastel pink and purple in the 90s.
That's right.
Steady. And you know what to expect. They're always up front with you.
Yeah. That's right.
They're honest. Mm-hmm. Good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't try to be anything that they're not.
No.
That's right.
Like, no. Taco Bell is what it is. The most out there they got when they were like, okay, this relationship is getting a little routine. Let's shake it up. They added breakfast to the menu.
Yep.
That's the most, like, insane Taco Bell has ever gotten.
Well, and then, right? they did the thing with the potatoes, right? So they were like, okay, guys, we got to get rid of the potatoes. And everybody's like, why? Why would you do that?
We love potatoes. And they were like, I love that about you.
Okay. We love you too.
God bless.
And we're going to bring them back.
Because those potatoes are fire.
You know, listen.
Delicious. Are we going to have Taco Bell for lunch?
Are we going to have Taco Bell for lunch?
We can.
Are we all?
I am here for
it. Are we all
100 hard shell tacos?
Are we?
You get a taco.
That should be a Patreon video. Us just eating 100 hard shell tacos.
Oh, no.
That's a good use of our podcast money.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think we're all marrying Taco Bell.
I think we're marrying Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah. Not even a question. They have their own resort now. I can lay on an inflatable that looks like a hot sauce packet.
That's right.
But I think it was just a limited time.
Yeah,
thing,
it
right?
was.
Yeah.
But they'll bring it back for me.
Of course.
And then, yeah. Who do we fuck? Chipotle,
I think you fuck Chipotle because you're right. In the beginning, Chipotle is good, but you don't stick with it long term because they're not long term people.
But they are the ex. Because listen,
yeah,
we maybe not Cassie, but like we eat Chipotle still. They are the ex that like you're like, oh man, that was
the
bad.
Dick was good.
I couldn't live with you, but like you will hook up with them later.
Oh yeah,
like another time you will hook up and it will be fine. Mm-hmm. You can still have conversations with Chipotle.
I mean, you're paying for the date because that guacamole is extra. You know what I'm saying? You are paying for the date. Yeah.
That's right.
But the dick was good.
Yeah, Chipotle's patting its wallets or like his pockets. Like Chipotle's like, I don't know. I think I left my wallet at home. And you're like, oh, all right, I guess.
I also feel like Chipotle's like doing too much. Like, you know what I mean? Like Chipotle has too many irons in the fire all the time.
The
you
queso know? Mistake.
That queso puts that shit on everything he does. But, I know.
So I just like look at it in the steam table and I'm like, no, thank you.
It's a weird consistency too.
Awful.
Like it's like gritty or something. It's like very strange.
Yeah, not a pleasant thing to glance upon.
Chipotle is the guy that you dated. You will never marry because he's always looking for something better.
Yeah, 1 foot out the door.
He's Chipotle's always 1 foot out the door. You may stay friends with Chipotle.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're gonna stay friends, you'll talk to him. He's gonna talk to you about all the girls that he's been dating.
Total yeah, oh boy. For yeah. sure.
He's,
and like
he's gonna brag.
You're
about,
gonna meet some of them and you're gonna be like, oh honey.
Yeah. Sweet baby.
Every time.
No.
And they're always 25.
Yeah.
Like doesn't matter how old Chipotle he's like, gets.
The thing I like is I keep getting older and they say the same age.
Every girlfriend Chipotle has is 25.
Yeah.
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 Oh my gosh. Yeah. And we've all had Chipotle.
Yeah.
We have all had Chipotle.
Yeah. And despite yourself, you still think about Chipotle sometimes. Like, you're like, oh, could I? No.
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 No. No. But the D was good.
Yeah. That guac was fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Del Taco is fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. But I mean, you're not bringing a whole lot to the table.
Not bringing anything to the table, really.
Yeah,
like, he's definitely forgot his wallet. He doesn't even have a wallet. And he did.
A Velcro.
Shut up. That's what I said. He has a Velcro wallet that he leaves at home.
Oh,
and it's got an ID in it at the end.
Circling back, there was another TikTok I watched where they were like, I don't know, it was two British guys that maybe like have a radio show or something. And they had asked people to write in like things that make women go ick. And one of them was the Velcro wallet.
Just the sound.
It just dries the pussy because right up.
It just reminds me of middle school. Like, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, it's not even expensive to get a wallet that's not Velcro. Like, why would you make this choice?
Yeah.
What
are you scared of? Like, I feel like you're doing a lot of high risk activities if you need your wallet to be Velcro shut. Like,
yeah.
Woof.
Woof.
Are you bungee jumping later? Like, why?
It's like the chain wallet.
Like the chain. Same.
Oh.
Listen, I steady had a chain wallet.
Aww,
I did.
Jenko jeans.
But I have to say, I feel like you with a chain wallet would be kind of cute.
Oh,
like,
I was fucking cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had middle part, straight hair.
Yeah.
Fucking, I told you this before. I'm like straight up had my blue suede, three stripes. I had my blue corduroy men's pants from the thrift store, you know, the thermal shirt under my Lollapalooza, you know, just
listen
chain wallet. I was 90s.
Wow.
Listen, decisions were made in our youth. I just showed you guys some of the things in my...
That picture you got?
In my chest. My mom brought back my like hope chest. That's like this, just a cedar chest. And she brought it back when she drove out for the wedding. And it's still full of shit from like my middle school days. And there are t-shirts in there that must be unveiled. Mm. I'll do a video and unbox that chest.
Yeah. Because
every picture that I cut out from a magazine that was like on my wall, like taped to my wall, is in there in a shoebox. And
there is a picture of Johnny Depp that I've never seen before. With but a it's the soul most.
Patch. He has long hair and a soul patch.
And like a shirt from, I'm certain that he stole from the dude, the lead singer of Arms Wide Open, dude.
Creed,
yes. Like, it's straight up, like, black with a mesh black middle and laced up.
It was a time. Okay?
It's the emo version of Johnny Depp.
I have every iteration of Johnny Depp in that box. Oh. Like, there is every... I have so many pictures of Johnny Depp in that box. Mm. There is a Legolas picture in there. Mm. Oh, man. It's
a lot.
My gosh, dude. I feel like I'm just old enough to have not had a crush on Johnny Depp because I'm like in between
80s Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Correct.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. I missed the we have a crush on Johnny Depp phase.
I feel like there was a phase when I was younger, like that I thought Johnny Depp was hot.
I mean,
like, for sure.
Look, Benny and June.
Yeah, like at so that time, cute. Benny and June, I thought he was super
Gilbert
cute.
Gilbert Grape. Stop it. Oh,
he was loved so cute in that movie. And loved that movie when I was a kid. Listen, I do not want to revisit.
No.
I don't want to revisit that movie because I'm sure it probably does not hold up. I don't know.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But I remember being a kid and being like, this is the best movie that's ever been made.
You know? Juliette Lewis and Johnny Depp, they were adorable.
Listen, I love Juliette Lewis.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Anyways.
And we have some new patrons.
Yeah, we do.
So I want to give a big shout out to Stephanie Feinberg, Courtney McLeister, and Slippy Jagoff, which is hilarious, but I've seen them on our Instagram.
Yes.
Yes.
And Jagoff, I'm assuming, I can only assume they're from Pittsburgh. That's the most Pittsburghese thing I've ever heard. Jagoff is such a Pittsburghese.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so much for joining us on Patreon.
Yeah.
I saw some Stephanie. Of you talking on Twitter.
Yes. So Stephanie, I think she had a different name on Twitter, but I do believe she just got married.
Oh.
So yeah, and she was literally saying that she was on her honeymoon. This was like literally just a few days ago, and I was like, oh my god, I wonder if they got married the same day you and Anthony
Maybe.
Did. I think they did.
On
I think they did
at the same time. Hey, are you 10/2/21? Let me know. Reach out.
Oh, thank you guys so much for being patrons. We're gonna, you know, got more content and stuff on the way. Yeah. Definitely.
There are some fall flavored seltzers that we're going to need to try soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do. To get together and do that. So yeah, thank you guys so much for being part of the crew. We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. We're so happy to have you.
Yes. Yeah, so now you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
And we're back. All right.
Yeah, it's me. I'm going to kick us off.
All right. Cassie's kicking us off with stories.
I got that tainted love. So here we go. We got this in our inbox. It says, I matched with a guy on Hinge who caught my attention with a prompt saying he had a roommate in college that was a serial killer.
So you're like, I need more information immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. He seemed cute enough and we had good banter, but he said the serial killer story was better story for in person.
No. If
so
you can,
I agreed to get drinks.
No. No. Who?
Because then you're like, you're the serial killer, aren't
and
you?
I also I feel like
that's my head.
It's such a hook too, just to like be like, I'm gonna put this in here because I know it's gonna get people's attention, and then I'm gonna like, you know, put them in a headlock and make them go to dinner with me. I don't like that.
So she says yes. She's better story for in person. So they go out, and she's like, get drinks with him, thinking at the very least I get a good story. Over drinks, he proceeds to tell me that his roommate was not actually a serial killer, but rather a schizophrenic guy who woke up one day claiming a leprechaun in his throat had told him to kill his grandparents and cousins.
This got troubling in so many ways.
He was found not guilty due to insanity and currently in a mental hospital. My date told me all of this with a huge grin on his face and was laughing throughout.
Oh, no.
Well, I grew more and more uncomfortable uncomfortable about his use of another another's tragedy to attract girls on dates.
Yeah, that's icky. So icky.
So the roommate did so many kill ways. His grandparents?
Apparently.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
Awful. That's doesn't know. He proceeded to say, can you imagine how he must feel in his moments of clarity? I mean, once I got caught forging a parent's signature on a failed test, and that keeps me up at night. Imagine how this guy feels.
Are you a psychopath?
Are you the serial killer?
Thank you.
Because I'm just like, that is lacking so much empathy. That is so gross.
Oh, it's disgusting. And making a big joke of it all, the date proceeded with him telling me how he likes to make sausage from scratch and how I would love his sausage.
No. This guy is a serial killer. For sure.
It gets
better. And he's turning people into sausage. No.
It gets better.
No.
How much I would love his sausage. How he was a women's study minor in college.
Oh,
but also
Jesus Christ.
But also hates all the women he works with and
hashtag
thinks most
male feminists.
Most conversations in these classes were a waste of time and bragging about how much money he has despite almost flunking out of college. He ended up the night by walking me to my car and standing there as if in waiting. I reluctantly put my arms out for a hug, and he, in his best sultry voice, said, can I kiss you? I don't know why that's my sultry voice. That was horrible.
Oh, God. I have, like, literally my hair chills. On my neck is, like...
To which I squinted my eyes and said, you know, like, basically the no to anybody with body language reading skills at all. And he proceeded to grab my chin and lay one on me. When I got home, I sent him a text saying I didn't see it working out and suggested he take the, quote, serial killer prompt off his profile, as it was really a great first date story and really just sad, weird form of date clickbait. He didn't respond, but it did immediately unmatch me.
Oh.
I was right in getting, I was right about getting a good story, but not the kind I wanted. Love you guys so much. Thanks for the therapy outlet and community of girl bosses and survivors.
Oh, man. Yes.
Wow.
That is upsetting.
That guy had, literally, like, you know, he's like, you know, those magicians that pulled him. It's like all red flags.
Yeah. It just keeps going and going.
You're like pulling. You're like, how many are we going to get?
All of them.
All of them. It just doesn't stop. Ugh. All right. I got mine from Reddit. Okay. It was a third date with this guy I met on some app. The first two dates were a little rocky, but he was nice enough and patient, so I figured I'd give it one more shot before throwing in the towel. We met at a tea place in Midtown and sat outside. The sun was glaring, so I pulled my sunglasses out of my purse and put them on as I continued discussing the prior night out with my friends. We eventually walked around the edge of Central Park to a movie theater about 10 blocks up, and as we're going up the elevator, some guys that were going down the opposite side were looking and smiling at me, which gave me a big confidence boost. After
I'd be
movie,
like, what's on me?
Yeah. Oh no. Do I have something that's me. On I'm my like, face? What? Yeah.
After the movie, I go to the bathroom to discover a blue pen all over
there
my
it
face.
Is. There yep. it is.
Amazing.
A pen exploded in my purse and perfectly lined the bottom of my sunglasses.
Yes.
I did my best to remove it, laughing, and then was like, why didn't he say anything? I could get over not saying anything about spinach in your teeth or something, but letting me walk around in public for 2 hours before the movie with ink all over my face? At that point, I was completely comfortable letting this one go. We said goodbye outside the movie theater, and when asked what my plans were for the rest of the night, I told him I was going to go to Whole Foods before hopping on the train to go home. He insisted on coming with me.
Why?
Trailing slightly behind as I tossed some usual items into a basket and checked out.
Well, I don't like that.
You don't need to watch me grocery shop. He walked me to my train platform. The train was 2 minutes away, pulling into the station, but he insisted I wait for the next one, which was 5 minutes away. About 3 minutes before the train came, he decided this hot, smelly, New York City subway station was where he should plant the first kiss on a girl with grocery bags in both hands and remnants of blue ink on her face. To make matters worse, he did the jabby thing with his tongue. His breath smelled like warm tuna salad.
Tongue dart.
I hate tongue dart.
Hold on. You've got warm tuna salad.
And a tongue dart.
In a subway station, which is always like that like steamy, moist, hot air.
God.
That smells like hot garbage
because it is hot garbage.
I love New York City.
Oh, the subways.
There are moments, even when just walking along the street, where like you will like pass just like a whiff of like hot, steamy garbage smell.
Piss. Piss, I feel like that. I associate the piss smell with LA a lot. Like,
downtown LA.
I don't know. Like, I've been in like Santa Monica and just passed a piss.
Yeah.
Definitely. Usually it's a stairwell. Walking up or down a stairwell, there is a piss somewhere.
Woof.
And the tongue dart, the hard tongue, it's, oh my gosh.
A real firm tongue.
Why is your tongue so pointy?
Oh my God.
How'd you get it that way?
Okay, so this one, it combines a few of our favorite things, which are Halloween and office parties.
Wonderful.
It is quite long, so just
buckled up.
Oh my gosh.
Hicks is really dying to get in.
I know. It is one of my favorite things when people bring dates to office parties.
I know. It's incredible.
It's so awkward.
Okay.
I really hope everybody can hear your cat right now.
Yeah, like his paws were underneath the door a second ago. Like he was just like, hey, listen, let me in there. I can tell you guys are having a great time.
I love him so much.
You know, he's adorable. Okay. I had started casually dating this woman, let's call her Lisa. I met on Tinder and things were going pretty well. We had been dating for about 3 weeks when she invited me to the Halloween party the work was throwing. Since things were going so smoothly, I didn't think twice about accepting the invitation. Lisa was a seventh grade teacher for a combined elementary middle school.
and the school. All the alcohol is about to be thrown down.
And the school
cocaine,
apparently always hosted a Halloween party for the faculty and staff. She told me this party was generally more laid back than the annual Christmas holiday party.
Oh, no.
And that I should come in costume, and we were sure to have a good time.
All I can hear right now is that song. Turn down for what?
We
just dressed as a bunny rabbit. Turned out for what?
We arrived at the party fashionably late by about an hour or so at 9 p.m., which felt like a late start for a party full of school teachers.
Oh, honey.
But I just went with it. They had apparently rented this giant Airbnb house for the night.
Oh.
And when we got there, I was already taken aback. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not this. Trap music blared before before we even entered the building.
Yes.
And when we got inside, there was a fog machine in a dark room with purple and orange lights spinning around.
Yep.
There were people on the dance floor clearly already wasted and grinding. Yes. Lisa quickly pointed out to me casually that one of them was the assistant principal.
Wow. Y'all don't know teachers.
Exactly.
I came dressed as a nerd with high waist pants and a pocket protector, thinking that was a cute, safe costume for a school party.
Oh.
Lisa was a fairy, and before we left the house, I thought her skirt was maybe a little short for a work event, but thought, you know, who was I to judge? Turns out, Lisa was one of the most conservatively dressed ones there. Yes. Even the men had decided to go full on sexy with their Halloween costume choices, bare chests and suspenders and all that.
Wow.
I was feeling disoriented and out of place already, and like I really needed a drink. Luckily, there was a well-stocked bar in the corner of the room. I went over and got a stiff drink and then another before Lisa pulled me on the dance floor. It wasn't long before I was sandwiched between Lisa and a woman I later found out was the school counselor.
Oh my God.
This is...
I was feeling very weird, so I pulled myself away in an effort to find a bathroom. As I stumbled through... the hall, there was a sea of people gathered near the bathroom. I waited my turn in line before getting inside. As I did my business, I noticed a bowl of Halloween candies on the counter next to the sink. After washing my hands, I took one and popped it in my mouth
before
making my way back to the dance floor.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
On the way back.
Never try the Parvy Favors. Oh, no.
As I was passing the stairwell, I almost got taken out by a guy just dressed as sexy Jack Sparrow. Tumbling always down the one. Stairs. There's always one. When he got to the bottom, he groaned a little bit before jumping up and proclaiming, "I'm all right," with his fists in the air.
Amazing.
The crowd cheered. Mm. Back on the dance floor, Lisa is now making out with the counselor, and yep, I'm starting to
it.
Feel a little
I fucking knew it.
Funny, but in a good way.
Yeah.
The urge to dance was taking over.
Oh.
So when a sexy witch grabbed my arm and pulled me out, I went with it.
Yeah.
I think he met Molly.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he
Molly
did.
Was in the bathroom.
It was around this time that I was noticing how beautiful the lights were. Mm. And when I had the thought that I could, quote, hear the music with my ribs, I realized that I had probably taken something. Mm-hmm. Turns out there was ecstasy in those bathroom candies.
Yep, 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 yep. That sounds
I looked
right.
around and it was absolutely Bacchiavellian.
Yep, that's right.
Is that right? Yep. Okay. Everyone was dancing or making out. One guy was throwing up into a houseplant in the corner.
Oh, that Airbnb. They are not going to get a good rating. Oh.
I needed some air, so I stepped outside to find a group giggling manically. I joined them and began to tell them a story while gesturing wildly with my hands.
Oh, no.
Unbeknownst to me, Lisa had crept up behind me, and as I gesticulated during the climax of the story, I hit the bottom of the beer bottle she had just placed to her lips.
Oh, no.
Causing her to hit herself with it. I was apologizing profusely and helping her clean up when I realized to my horror that she had chipped her tooth.
Oh, I knew it. Oh,
when
no.
I told Lisa this and she pulled out a mirror to check, she broke down in a fit of giggles to such a degree that I actually found it frightening. Though I was way too intoxicated, I offered to drive her home or to a hospital or something, but she waved me off. I sobered up pretty quickly after that and decided to finish off the night laying on the couch upstairs while my partially toothless date finished off the evening with her colleagues.
Wow.
The sight early the next morning as we left to go home was astonishing. In the cold light of day and sobriety, things looked very, very different.
Bleak.
Teachers of all ages in various states of undress, some with smeared lipstick, saying their goodbyes and limping their way to their vehicles. The next day, I went with Lisa to see about her tooth, and when I asked if that was a pretty standard party for them, she said, "Oh yeah, the Halloween party is always a riot. We never talk about what happens there afterwards. Everyone always looks forward to it every year." So yeah, sorry this is long, but that's my story. Never underestimate teachers. They deal with a lot of shit day in and day out. Yep. So when they finally cut loose, you better be prepared.
Yeah, no, dude, I could never teach 7th grade.
No. Middle school has got to be the worst.
They are so mean, you guys.
Awful. Mean. The fucking worst.
Mean.
They will rip your soul out of your body. Yeah. I literally
It's like little dementors.
I crossed the street. We were out at our friends Jill and Patrick's house, and I like parked at their house and we were walking to the beach because they live right on the beach, and we were walking and I saw a group of middle schoolers with skateboards.
Nope.
I was like, I was like, we're walking on the other side of the street.
And no. girls,
from 12 year olds.
Girls, they are like the masters of those comments.
Yeah.
Just little
they're just like
that.
Do you color your hair? And then they just walk away. And you're like, what? Does it look like it?
No, I would definitely need to have like parties like that on the reg if that was my job.
Right. Honestly. I mean, it also doesn't matter how old you are. Like, you could be in your mid-20s and they'll make some comment about you being like old.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Hoo-wee.
Wow. Well.
Well, I'm so glad also that Cassie actually, like, I called her yesterday and we were talking. She's like, should we check? Because, you know, we decided to do
Tainted Love,
spooky season Tainted Loves, and we both had to go today.
There aren't that many, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to say a name. You tell me if it sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Great.
Exactly.
We're not doing the same Tainted Love.
Awesome.
But I'm going to tell you my spooky Tainted Love. Ooh. All right. So, I got, I'm going to tell you some of my resources now and then some of them later, not to give it away too much, right?
Got it.
I got a lot of my resources from Murderpedia, Wikipedia, of course, New York Upstate article by Chuck Diplomler.
We love a local story.
I think that's his name, right? Anyway. Anyway, unsolved.com. So, all right. Big Moose Lake. upstate New York. This is in the Adirondacks area. There's a place there called the Covewood Lodge. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the haunting of...
I was just going to say 100% it's haunted. Yeah. With a name like Covewood Lodge, I'm like, first of all, it's 100% haunted.
Also, upstate New York. Yes. I feel like all of it's haunted.
Yeah.
That entire
Adirondacks
region,
haunted.
Haunted. Just, yeah.
Haunted. Also Bigfoot, right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Just pack your bag full of sage.
Also... Can we also
and crystals.
Just briefly mention that the hotel where my wedding was is haunted?
Haunted. Oh, yeah.
Totally. AF.
AF. Yeah. So that was a fun weekend.
Yes. Airbnb or your, yes. Your place. Yes. I'm not having a stroke, I don't think.
Immediately
but.
When we were there that morning. It's not like a bad way. I was just like, oh, yeah. No, this place is haunted.
No, I sent you that video about the first night that I stayed there. I legit was like, I felt like someone sat on the bed and I like took off my face mask because I thought it was like Amy was coming to like gently wake me up to get the day started. And there was nobody there. And I was like, what the fuck? And so I laid back down and went back to sleep. And then I didn't go back to sleep, but I closed my eyes. And then it felt like somebody got up off the bed. And then I got up and I was like in the shower and my friend Sienna had spent the night with me in that room that night. And when I told her about this later, she was like, that's wild because I thought that you had come back in the room like or later that morning and you were still in the shower. And she's like, that's what woke me up. So I'm like, yeah, oh. We definitely had a ghost in our room that night. But they were nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friendly.
Awkward. I'm scared. And then Amy, our friend Amy, sends this video of this morning from her camera, the baby camera.
Which, is there anything more terrifying than a baby's
a
monitor?
A fucking straight up orb all the way in, all the way out. I was like, what is
And she looks at it. Baby is like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
Ghost story time. So, there's a few stories. I'm going to tell you these stories, and a few of these were on Unsolved Mysteries. So there
best.
And so, go with me to Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah. Robert Stack in his real classic. Robert Stacky voice. Mm-hmm. Telling you in this has got to be like the 90s, like late 90s probably, and they have those like those reenactments. Yes. So it's like a group of people walking, like they're having a conversation. So it's
the outfits are probably spectacular.
Oh, let me run inside real quick. Okay. Reenactments. Anyway, so the first story is Rhonda Bousselot. Who on Unsolved Mysteries talks about they were working at Covewood Lodge and one of the camp lodge places, buildings, she ran inside. She was with a few of her friends. They were on their way to the lake and she's like, oh, let me run in and grab a sweater kind of situation. Runs inside, goes upstairs, goes to reach for the string light. And she's like, I had this really weird feeling come over me, like somebody was with me. And she was like, I just kind of stood there for a moment. And she's like, I didn't see anything, but I really felt like the presence of something.
Is there a more terrifying feeling than when you're like
reaching
alone
for a string light?
Reaching for a string light, period. Like if you have to enter a room and get to the middle of it before you can illuminate that room, already scared.
Yeah. Hate it.
I'm already scared.
If there's a string that you have to just reach and grab for, just swinging your arm around, nothing is more terrifying than a string light.
I'm so scared right now.
I know, I love it. So she's like, I feel like a presence around me, but she's like, I don't see anything. So she's like, I wait around for a few seconds. She's like, grab my sweater. And then I go outside. She goes, and it's then she goes that apparently at the same time that she was feeling that, the three people outside had quite an experience of their own.
Oh.
Apparently on the deck area, like the upstairs of the house in the like balcony, they see a woman apparate, all white, wearing, you know, a white gown.
Why are they always wearing white
gowns? Always wearing white. Why
are
you
like,
always...
I really want to be visible. I want to be seen.
Why are they always old timey ghosts?
Yeah.
Why don't you ever see like some bitch like dressed like Madonna or something?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because if you saw it, you'd be like, that's just a normal person, right? Maybe. So maybe we see ghosts all the fucking time.
Oh.
Yeah? And we're like, that's weird lighting. Wow, she's really glowing.
Wow, what's her skincare routine?
Yeah, this bitch is
what
glowing.
What kind of moisturizer does
she
use?
She's like, I died last week. And you're like, oh, okay, damn. Anyway, so I did think about this, obviously, because I also had the same thought. Like, why don't we see fresh ghosts?
Fresh ghosts. That's the title of this episode.
Fresh ghosts.
Oh, ghosts. No. Oh, this is some stale ghosts I'm seeing. Doesn't even scare you. You're old ghosts. I want to see some fresh ghosts.
So they see this woman, you know, hair up high, you know, and this, and like all three of them see it. So it's not like one of those things where it just like one weird thing happened. Like all three of them saw this ghost literally standing on the balcony, walk across the balcony and dissipate into thin air. Right. So,
okay, can we go stay at this lodge immediately?
Yes.
I wanna, absolutely fucking not. Are you crazy?
Adirondacks, no, here we come.
Let's go.
Yeah. The other story is Linda Mackin, who her and her friend Bridget, they are, you know, out, you know, staying just, it was a girls' weekend. It was just her and reuniting with like her high school best friend. I was like, love it. Mm-hmm. Having a little girls getaway. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to go out for a little walk. She had her flashlight. And so she's just staying close to the area of the cabin, has her flashlight. Her flashlight goes out and she's like, I don't love that. So she runs back and gets her friend Bridget. She's like, I really would like to walk around the lake, but I am not by myself and not with a flashlight. Yeah. And she had said, she kind of was like, I had this like eerie feeling. Like even when I got there, like I don't want to look in the mirror and I don't want to look out the window. Like she's just like, I just had this feeling like I was going to see something I didn't want to see. So you already have that like spooky sensation. You're not walking around with a flashlight that just broke.
No way.
The woods at night? No.
No flashlight at night? Do you know how dark the woods get? Ugh. Like I feel like living in the city, we forget how dark darkness is.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
We don't have darkness here.
No.
No.
At no. all. It's always semi-lit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
just
know.
How I like it.
Me too. Me too. So she gets her friend Bridget and they go out and they just do like a little cursory walk just like near the cabin. Their cabin's like right on the lake. So they find this cute little gazebo right on the lake, sit down, start chatting it up. And then both of them are looking now over the lake and get silent because they see this string of mist come across the lake and it apparates into this woman, this figure, with, again, hair high, high collar. And later she was like,
she sounds hot.
Yeah, totally was hot, by the way. So she's like, they were like, it's really weird. Like, what is this? And they go into the lodge and later see a picture of this woman on the wall. And she's like, oh my God, that's who I saw. Next ghost story.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Arnold, wow, I am really hard at words in today. The owner, Carl Mueller. So there's a time period where this guy, Carl Mueller, owns the whole complex, the whole Cove Wood Lodge area. He and his wife tell stories about how multiple times, and they kind of had known, quote unquote, that it was haunted when they got it. But they told stories about like hearing footsteps, lights being turned off and on. They eventually sell it to husband and wife owner. I think it was Rob and I can't remember their names. Anyway, they were like, didn't know that it was haunted when they purchased it. But then they saw the woman, a woman apparate in their window. And from that moment on.
People should have to disclose.
They're like, know.
Hey, is there like got to be in the listing? Like,
I feel like it should.
I feel like you should. Absolutely. You should.
Yeah.
There was an episode of Criminal where they talked about that, where the owner's like, sued.
Yeah.
Because they were like, this shit was haunted and no one told us. Yeah. And now nobody wants to buy it from us because everybody knows it's haunted now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, I have the Amityville Horror House. How did I not know? So anyway, multiple sightings of this beautiful woman with her hair pulled up and a white dress with a lace collar that goes all the way up to her neck. So who is this ghost? Well, everybody is fairly certain that this ghost is Grace Brown. Grace Brown is also from upstate New York. She was born in March of 1886 in South Otselic, New York. And she grew up on a dairy farm. She was like one of like nine children, like a middle child of like nine children. So
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that she's a March Pisces like myself because those grudges get held on to.
Yeah.
She's holding on. Yeah. She's hanging on.
Ooh, you're so right. Well, I saw a couple things. I'd heard March 14th and then I saw March 20th. So it's somewhere between there.
My birthday.
I know.
Hi. Yes.
Yes. So I agree. That is a very Pisces hold a grudge moment. Yeah. That we're hearing.
Like, I'm not moving on for shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. You thought, oh, am I supposed to leave?
You want me to pass over? Okay. I don't fucking think so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not until this shit gets taken care
of. Shit is getting resolved.
Honey, I was here first. You can leave. So she grows up on like a dairy farm, like I said. So her family was like decently well off, but they're, you know, rural family, and, you know, just a really nice upbringing, beautiful family, happy home, you know. But she's kind of like farm girl, very naive, but she wants to kind of go to the city. So she ends up moving to Cortland, which is 50 miles away in 1904, to move with her sister, Ada, who had already been married. And yeah, it's a great name,
I love it.
Ada and Grace.
Oh, adorable.
Is there anything more Edwardian in those names, right?
Love it.
It's very perfect. So she moves to Cortland, which is closer to, I think, like New York City. Like, so it's more downstate, a little closer to the city. And it's a much bigger town, and there's like some factory things, and, you know, there's more opportunities, right? So she ends up working at the Cortland skirt factory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she is, you know, loving it there. The owner apparently is super nice, but it's a really great factory. She ends up meeting the owner's nephew, Chester Gillette. Mm. Chester Gillette is kind of a bit of a man about town. So a little bit about Chester Gillette. He grew up kind of in an almost oddly different way than really anybody at that time, because his family did come from a wealthy background, but in his early childhood, they gave up all their wealth to join the Salvation Army. And he was one of like five children, and they became missionaries. So his family then moved from Montana, where he was born, to Spokane, Washington, and then traveled up and down the West Coast on their missionary work into Hawaii. So he grew up on missionary trips and not from wealth at all. But his uncle was this wealthy factory worker who really took a keen...
Owner.
Okay. Sorry. Yes. He's the factory owner.
I feel
owner.
Like there weren't a lot of wealthy factory workers at that time.
No. There were not.
Upper management.
Yeah. So the owner, yes, his uncle is the factory owner here. And he starts to kind of like take a keen interest in his nephew, Chester. So much so that he's like, you have a real future behind you. I'm going to send you to Oberlin College, which we know well because mm-hmm. it's in Ohio. And, you know, I want you to go to college and, you know, come work for me eventually. Well, after 2 years of shit grades, he ends up dropping out. But his uncle's like, you know what? Good enough. Come work for me at my factory. But he does have to kind of work from his kind of a ground up situation. So, but
Uncle
he does
seems very like chill,
super chill.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to make you work from the ground up, but nothing's going to block
my
you.
Nephew.
Yep. And nothing's going to block you from those next steps.
Yeah.
So he does have to, you know, start by sweeping floors kind of shit, but very quickly does move into like a middle management situation. And because his uncle is wealthy and his uncle is, you know, a factory owner, he has like all the connections in town and, you know.
I bet he's real charming.
Yeah.
Everybody loves like that owner's son mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They Chester. Know ahead of time yeah. that they've already got something in the bag and they don't have to try really hard to get it. That always makes that personality
like
real.
There was a lot of fake laughter when Chester was in the room. You know what I mean? Everyone was like, ha, ha, ha. And then as soon as he walked out, everyone was like, ugh,
this
fucking guy.
The thing is that Chester on his own right did not have much clout, except that he was very charming and potential, right? Mm-hmm. Because his uncle owned the factory.
Your uncle who clearly likes you
likes
a lot.
Likes you a lot, right?
Yeah. Might have some inheritance potential.
That's
there.
Right. So it's like a blue skies guy, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, there's potential there. You're probably going to be wealthy at some point. You're not wealthy necessarily yet, but I see the future here and it could be mine. So many of like the wealthy, even moms, the wives and mothers in town were like, my daughter should be with Chester, right? So he was, you know, gallivanting with this kind of high society life. But before he'd even gotten to like a managerial step, he had very early on, when he first started in the factory, Mr. Sweeps the Floors, before he'd gotten out in those social circles, he had met Grace Brown. And they quickly became fairly smitten with each other. And you know, she's a beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. And he is, you know, a great looking guy. He actually is a very good looking man for the time. I mean, just.
I feel like this is like a movie with Elizabeth Taylor.
It is, actually.
Oh, my God. I've seen this movie.
I think I know this story.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is an Elizabeth Taylor movie, which I was, spoiler alert. Okay. Going to tell you at the end. Wow. Anyway, so he had pursued Grace quite a bit. And he was like, you know, again, she's a beautiful woman. And you know, kind of, you know, he'd visit her house, you know, he'd come over, stay in a parlor kind of situation. But he eventually convinced her to go out with him without being escorted, which was
no chaperone,
which is
playing it fast and loose in 1905.
Yeah, very fast and loose. And you know, but she really liked him and was, you know, absolutely convinced that he also liked her just as much. And I think he probably did. However, he also liked society life and money, and loved the idea of moving up that ladder, and sees his potential as well. And his potential is not dating a factory worker. So the only time he ever sees Grace really is at the nighttime when they're both off work, kind of evenings, and just
hidden
very
in the shadows,
very clandestine relationship, right? This is not a daytime, we go out and walking in the daylight scenario, yeah. Right?
That always feels good.
And of course, this is very
hidden.
Yeah. But I'm sure she probably doesn't think a whole lot of it, right? She's just like, oh, we work during the day, so this is how. I mean, you think about all the things that you could justify in your head, right?
Oh, yeah. And have before.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Like, oh, it's like this because of this.
Yes. Yeah.
People still do that all the time.
He loves me. He would take me out in the daytime if we could. It's just, you know, just I'm so busy. It's timing, right?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So quickly, the relationship, of course, because they're not being chaperoned, can't be trusted, and they turn sexual. Imagine.
It's almost like people scandal. Like having sex. I know.
What, women too?
Shocking information.
No. I gotta.
You know what?
I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to Google that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to research that on the Google. So, Kel Surprise, when you have sex, sometimes you get STDs, but sometimes you get pregnant.
Yeah.
And she definitely got pregnant.
Oh,
she might have got herpes too. I don't know, but she definitely became pregnant. And she was like, great, Chester's going to marry me. And Chester's like, I don't.
But what if we didn't?
But let me think about it a little bit longer.
Oof,
and so increasingly desperate to become his wife, because she's like, hi, I am a woman. And
pregnant out of wedlock.
Yeah.
In case you didn't notice, it's the early 1900s.
Yeah. And I am going to be exiled from life,
everything, yeah,
the world. You might as, I mean, like, she's just like, this isn't an ideal situation. No. Not good for me.
No, almost like access to birth control and contraceptives, and you know, other things could actually help women.
Wow,
stay alive. And
you what know, are you talking about?
I mean,
it's a wild lot of information. Idea. I feel like I need to process.
I'm gonna have to go to my doctor Google again and check that statement, Christina.
Wild idea. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Very, very radical.
Woof. So anyway, he's, you know, stall. He's like, yeah, me, you know, well, you know what you should probably do? I have an idea. Why don't you, because you are getting more pregnant, why don't you go ahead and go up to your family's farm and I'll come get you later.
Mm.
And she's like, okay, I trust you and we're going to be married. So she goes up to her family's farm and they actually have all of these letters that she sent, because he did save them. So in the very end, you can read like all these love letters that become increasingly, again, more desperate and more desperate. Like, you know, I'm the saddest girl in the world. When will you come get me? I love you so much. It's just,
yeah,
it's
a Pisces. Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But then you want to hear the most Pisces thing. She's like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. I'm sorry. I didn't actually mean that. I know that you love me. It is, you can read the justification circles that she's writing. It's definitely the most Pisces thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's so sad. But she's like, She's like, how dare you do this to me? I'm sorry. I know you love me. I just am getting very upset. It's literally that. It's just so sad. So at any rate, during this time, her friends are like, hey, so, you know, Chester, right? The guy that you've been seeing, he's actually seeing this really beautiful socialite named Miss Harriet Bennett. And I'm pretty sure there's talk of, like, he's saying that they're gonna get married. And she's like, hey, what? So she's like, sir, no, you're not. Bring, bring. She's like, hi, what's happening? And he's like, you know what? You're right. You're the one for me. I think we should go on a trip. So he's like, why don't you go ahead and meet me? Pack your shit. We're going to meet up and we're going to go on a lovely vacation and we're going to have a beautiful time together. And so he packs a small little suitcase and a tennis racket.
Just one?
Just the one effect there.
The one tennis racket?
Just a,
what are you going to do with one tennis racket?
Well, small.
Not play tennis.
Small suitcase. No. And this
takes two rackets.
Yeah.
At least.
Just a.
Is there a ball in that bag or just the racket?
Just a. You know, small bag and a tennis racket. She, however, is like entire trousseau. She's actually had some time up at the farm. She's been building her wardrobe because she's a sewer. So she's sewing away. And she's got her
whole trunk ready.
She does. Packs her entire trunk. So there's been some speculation on why did she pack her entire trunk. Some people say that he was going to drop her off at a women's home. And she knew that. But most people, I think, are speculating that she's pretty certain they're going to run away together.
Yeah.
Get married.
That's what I would assume.
100. So she's packed all her shit up.
She's like preggers at this point. Like, noticeably preggers, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Like a few months in. And to be fair, like normally with your first pregnancy and even the way they dressed then, you know, you would probably have to be a good 6 to 7 months before you really are starting to show.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you can. Yeah. I mean, because the first pregnancy, it takes a while like for that baby bump to get out there. So at any rate, and she's a petite thing, right? So even when they find her body, which, spoiler alert.
Yeah. I mean, we all went there.
I mean, she's a ghost.
She's a ghost. So she definitely does. She's like 5'3 and 110 pounds. So that kind of tells you. Yeah. She's petite. So, beep, boop, boop. Packs small case, tennis racket. She packs her entire, you know, trousseau, everything that she has. And they make their way to upstate New York. They're going to take a trip to the Adirondacks. They're going to spend some time together. And she and him arrive at the Covewood Lodge, get all their stuff. And immediately he's like, let's get out on this lake.
I'm sorry. Did you miss the part where I said I was fucking pregnant?
Yeah.
I don't want to get in a boat.
Also, she's like, you know what? I don't swim. She's like, I don't know how. And he's like, perfect. It'll be fine. You're going to love this. So he rents, goes down to the dock, rents a boat from this guy. And, you know, the guy who rented them the boat was like, he seemed like a very well-versed boater, like didn't think twice. He's like, I did think twice, though, when they did get on the boat and she's there. And he's like, hang on 1 second. I'll be right back. He runs inside to grab his small bag and his tennis racket.
What the fuck do you need a tennis racket for?
Like, and you're definitely not playing tennis on the boat.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I would have questions.
Yeah.
Did she ask questions?
The guy did have questions. The guy was like, that's weird. But he's like, I don't know. Whatever. So
they're like, maybe it's a weird sex thing. I don't know. None of my business. None of my business.
Not asking questions. So
he has very New England.
None of my business is New England's entire slogan.
Yeah,
exactly. No,
that looks like it's none of my business. So go right ahead. So they get on their little skiff boat and make their way out into the lake. And, you know, just make a day of it. And nobody really thinks anything of it until the boat isn't returned when it's supposed to be. And they were like, well, that kind of happens sometimes. It's a lake. And so sometimes people get lost and they end up, their boat maybe ends up in a different cove and they find another hotel to spend the night at. It happens. So it wasn't until the next morning that they're like, you know, we should probably go
out for this boat.
Yeah, I gotta get my boat back.
Yeah. So they take out a search team and they find the boat capsized in this cove area, and they're looking around, and her jacket's on the tail of it, and they see a body floating, and it's her. But they don't see any sign of the guy that was with her. So they go back to the cove wood. They find this body, of course. They see immediately that this isn't just a woman who's drowned. She has a busted up face. Her nose is smashed. She's got, I mean, she's literally beaten, been beaten. There's no two ways about it. This woman has been beaten about the face. And so they go to check to see what they signed in to their hotel as. And he had signed in under Carl Meyer, I think it was, something like that. It was same initials.
Fake name.
A fake name, but it's the same initials as his name. So it's a CG, because he has CG monogrammed on his cases, so he had to like use a CG. So it was like Carl Graham or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So at any rate, so they're like, that's weird. So they kind of do a little search around to try to see if they can't find this guy, find out what's going on. Eventually, it all leads back to the factory, and they do figure out who she is, because he uses her real name. And so her real name, Grace Brown, they find her family, and they're like,
why would he use her real name?
That, I feel dumb? Like,
yeah, that was a misstep.
Yeah. Because
you don't think that they're going to trace this back to you? Like,
they very quickly trace it right back to him. And so they quickly find out his real name is Chester Gillette. So they find him literally one town over, registered at a hotel under his real name.
He's an idiot.
Full idiot. Right.
Why are so many criminals so stupid?
Super dumb. Right.
Yeah.
Well, so they find him and they're like, you fucking killed your pregnant, because now they know that she was with the child. You killed your pregnant girlfriend and you're going to pay for this.
You're done.
You're donezo, Washington. This was scandalous. So the thing is that on the research I did, I was able to find so many old actual news articles. It was wild.
It was huge. Yeah.
Oh, it was a huge case. So this small town in upstate New York just gets bombarded with, with, you know,
journalists, media.
Yeah. Just everybody's there. Right. So, okay. So when they do find him, though, his story keeps changing. He initially was like, so we went out on the boat, and I told her, you know, we're going to have to tell your parents about this. And also kind of like, I don't think that we can keep going this way. And she was like, yeet, and jumped out the boat, committed suicide.
Yeet. Later days.
No, it still doesn't explain what happened to her face. Oh, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, it was an accident. It was an accident. She stood up and then she fell out.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Okay. Still doesn't explain what happened to her face.
Well, I don't even know, because I wasn't there.
Wait.
Shrug.
Just throwing everything against the wall.
What's going to stick?
Do you buy that one? No. Okay. This one? No, you don't buy that one either.
Not that either? Okay. Awful. So eventually they, this court case was so outrageous that the prosecutors not only read the letters out loud in front of the whole court, they were like, not a dry eye in house, right? Mm-hmm. Not only that, they then bring out a bottle with the fucking fetus in it.
Oh no.
Can you imagine?
That would be effective today. Imagine back then.
Oh my god.
No, people. No. Oh, they're going to murder him.
Oh, yeah.
They do. And so the crowd, the town is like, fuck this motherfucker. We're going to lynch this bitch. And didn't. However, he does get sentenced for murder, and he is executed just 2 years later. So he is executed on March 30th of 1908. And according to the LA Herald article that I found from that date, prison chaplains, or his reverends, Reverend Henry McGilvery and Reverend Cordello Herrick, state in the statement said, because of our relationship with Chester Gillette was privileged, we do not deem it wise to make a detailed statement, and simply wish to say that no legal mistake was made in his electrocution. So without saying that he confessed to them, he's saying they're saying this was not a mistake.
Yeah, it was not an innocent man that was right. Yeah.
So, as you stated before, before that, 1925, Theodore Dreiser writes a book called An American Tragedy, which is inspired by this entire story. But also, yes, in 1951, A Place in the Sun is
yes, made. Yes, I've seen that. Is. Yeah.
With Montgomery Clift as, you know, the
Chester.
But it's a more modern version.
It is because it doesn't take it's modern to the 1951. To the 50s. Right. Yeah. And Elizabeth Taylor as the the beautiful socialite woman, and then Shelley Winters plays the
Grace.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
So the thing of it is that during the way that they film it is that in the movie, a lot of it's very similar, right? A lot of it, if you've seen the movie, you know how similar it is because you guys caught it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but they definitely portray the Grace character. Shelley Winters is like this kind of homely, like latch-on woman who just won't let him
that
live
feels very
his
1951, life. Doesn't it?
Yep.
Let him live his best life with Elizabeth Taylor. Listen. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, because that movie is very much billed as a love story, like a romance between Montgomery Clift and Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it very much is.
Yeah. So that is the story of Grace Brown.
Ooh, wow. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is good. I feel like that's come up on my list around this time every year. Mm-hmm. And I always am like, it's one of those where I'm like, it's really familiar. Have we done this one?
Well, there's so many woman in white ghost stories.
Of course. Right.
You know, and a lot of them are like women scorned stories.
Yeah. So, and I feel like you told one like a couple years ago or whatever, where somebody else yeeted a woman off a boat.
Yeah, there's actually a story really similar in the same area. That's something very similar like that happened. Real quickly, though, and my cursory search on podcasts just to see who'd covered it, I found the spooky Halloween haunting story that somebody shared with My Favorite Murder.
Uh-huh.
It was in like a hometown.
Uh-huh.
And it was about her mom having or her family having a haunting experience with Grace Brown.
Yeah.
Wow.
In that area because they had a cabin up in the area.
I'd be pissed too. I'd be haunting that motherfucking place.
Oh, yeah. We're sticking around.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
No.
It's fucked up.
I'd be furious.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, too, so people are like, of course, there's like, why is she so haunting? You know, he was executed, right? And they were like, well, probably because of the way she was portrayed as this, like, latch on.
Yeah, so she's mean. Mad.
They're like, no, bitch, no, that it wasn't
like,
me.
And also, she's like, do you see how hot I am?
Higher.
Literally, go fuck yourself.
Very beautiful. Like, yeah. Yes, and that's the thing, too. They were like, they just kind of portrayed her as this, like, homely, basically like puts out lady, you know, and that was not her at all. She was very naive for being, you know, because she did grow up in the country and didn't have a lot of the city experience.
Well, she was in love.
And she was in love. Yeah.
Young and in love. And yeah, like, and these stories, every time we tell a tainted love, or very often, like, yeah, there's, you do dumb shit whenever you're in love. Like that feeling, that like chemical imbalance that you have whenever you're in love makes you do stupid stuff.
I forgot to tell you guys one of my favorite parts of this whole story, which is that Miss Harriet Benedict, the quote other woman, actually made a public statement in which she was like, I did not have sexual relations with that
yeah.
guy. She's like, no, and we were never,
Harriet, yes,
she's
girl.
Like, we were not engaged. I don't,
she was like, no, I don't like, what's
know
his
him.
Name?
Him.
I don't know
She's like,
him.
What's his name? I know.
Huh?
Maybe he.
She kept her sunglasses on the stage.
Yes.
She
was
like, what?
What?
Who? How do you say it? Chester? Yeah. Chester?
I don't
know.
No. No, people have said that they've seen you two about town. No. I don't know. That wasn't
well,
me.
Well, I mean,
actually,
we were friendly, but I don't know him like that.
I mean, I seen him.
Yeah.
But I don't know him.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Great, great tainted love. I love spooky season.
Yes.
We need to do more of these throughout the year.
Oh
so.
My gosh. Right? You know, it is my favorite. So going into what we're watching, I just started Midnight Mass.
Ooh. I just watched that too. I've only seen the first episode.
I've seen the first two.
Does the second one get
shit?
A little more?
Yes.
Because the first one is a little slow.
It is slow. I will say the first one is slow. But you know what? I feel like it's the same. It's Mike Flanagan who also did Haunting of Hill House and Bly Manor. Yeah. And I feel like it's always kind of that way. I feel like he does quite a bit of setup on the front end. So even the second episode isn't like kicked into high gear yet, but I know it will. Like, I have faith that it's going to.
Yeah.
And other people who have watched it told me they really liked it. So I'm here for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, first episode, I think it's the first episode, maybe it's the second episode, there are some cat situations.
So, yeah.
I heard.
Yeah. That's not...
Which, yet. I was watching it and my cats were like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
all along the looking, beach and stuff.
They're looking at the screen like, what the fuck are you watching?
Yeah. Mom?
They're like, how dare you?
Really? I'm right here.
Yeah.
I have been... we're trying to finish Sopranos in time to catch the prequel, Many Saints of Newark, on HBO Max. So we just started season 6.
Wow.
Yeah. It's nice to rewatch it again. It's just such a well-written show.
I've never seen it.
It's so good.
Not really either.
I want to see it. I actually do want to see it. It's been on my list for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Like, I'm not really ever into mob stuff. Yeah. And yes, it is a story about the mafia, but more it's like a story. It feels like someone in a writing class was like, oh, what would happen if a mafia boss went to therapy?
Yeah.
And went from there. But mostly I also really appreciate the fact that it has really well-developed female characters.
Yeah.
And great acting.
I mean, Edie Falco is just... she's precious. One of the most underrated actresses of
absolutely.
Our time, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I watched Nurse Jackie and I was like, this woman can act her fucking ass off.
Yeah,
like,
she's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's what I got going on.
I don't know if I said last week, but we were still watching Only Murders in the Building, which is super cute. And then Great British Bake Off started, kids. Yep. And so we are choo-choo on the British Bake Off train.
Me too.
So nice. Good.
I don't like that it comes out one episode a week. I know. I'm like, this is my, you know, wrap up in a nice, warm, cozy robe with like a hot chocolate show. Like, I just want to be in a nice comfy cinnamon roll while I'm watching Great British Bake Off, and I only get 1 hour at a time. I don't like it.
The problem is it makes me so hungry.
It makes me want to bake. Like, I was like, I need to make some bread right now.
Like, I have to.
Speaking of like British things, did you guys know that they made a musical about Diana?
Oh my God.
Wait.
The trailer keeps coming up on my YouTube and I'm like, under no circumstances. No. Will I watch that cursed trailer?
Awful.
And bring that energy, the energy of Diana's ghost, into my home.
No. Because, you know, speaking of things that you would be pissed about and be like haunt.
Oh, furious.
That is, oh my God. If someone made a shitty musical.
About my life.
I heard it's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be. It cannot be good.
I've heard it's not even like campy, like so bad it's good. I've heard it's just flat out like the worst.
Yeah, because it's tacky and in poor taste.
Every now and again, you know, because like when you're an actor, like sometimes you're like, yeah, you see other people be in bad shit and you're like, yeah, well, they needed to work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, there comes across like a project where I'm like, under no circumstances would I take that job. I don't care how hard up I am.
You want to be connected with that forever.
No, I would. I'm like, they'd be like, it's going to be on Netflix.
I'm going to pass.
You can have the lead. It's a
I'm going to pass, actually.
Except I'll wait. I can live off ramen for another 2 weeks or whatever. Like, no.
Yeah.
Oof. Well, if you guys have stuff that we should watch, if you have stories, anything like that, please reach out to our website at mywarstatepodcast.com. And we love you guys so much.
Cheers.